But we are thankful that God has given us this space and this opportunity to be here one more time. So we ask you, if you will, to turn with us to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And our supporting scripture shall come from James 2 and 18. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 9. As we look here in the Word of God, as we see Paul's writing to the Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at verse 9, the Bible reads, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he have built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." The 13th verse says, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Supporting scripture from James 2 and 18. "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." The basis of those verses this morning, we like to speak from a thought or subject. Will our work survive the trying of the fire? Will our work survive the trying of the fire? Amen. If you know him, then there ought to be something different in the way that you deal with the things that you have to deal with in life. Because if you don't know him, the things that you have to deal with will take you under, and make you feel like nobody cares, and make you feel like throwing your hands up in despair and saying, "I'm ready to give it up." But if you know him, you know that as long as you're living, there is some hope that things will get better than what they are. We know that if we know God, that God has a way that the old folk used to say is mighty sweet. Hallelujah. And he has not changed, for he is the same God that our ancestors praised and worshiped and lifted up and have passed down the baton to us, encouraged us and trained us and told us that if we believe in the power of a mighty God, then we must work the works of him that has sent us while it is yet still day. For a night shall come when no man can work. So we are thankful this morning for another day's journey. We are thankful that God is watching over us and is yet still keeping us in his loving care and with his mighty power. It is only by his grace and his mercy that we are here this morning. And we are thankful to God for everything. The Bible declares, and he says through the words of James, "In all things, give thanks." So a lot of times when we are going through our trials and our tribulations and our troubles and our struggles, we tend to wonder, how is it that I can find a place within myself to still praise the power of a mighty God? I'm suffering and I'm going through, and I really don't have a clear understanding of why I'm going through the things that I'm going through. I've tried to do what God would have me to do. I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying and I'm talking to him, but it seems as though the enemy always got the upper hand. But you got to have a mind this morning to not let the enemy get the best of you. Never began to think, even if it's seemingly that he got the upper hand, he does not have the last say. And he is not the one in control. God is the one that's in control. Now, do mind me that he does have some power. But the only power he has is that power that we allow him to have. Because in order for him to do anything, he has to use somebody. And so whoever he uses, they are allowing him to take the upper hand in their life. So we got to learn how to be steadfast and unmovable and always watching and praying that we don't allow the enemy to override us. We don't allow the enemy to distract us, to get us off of our focus of what we are all about. When we think about the fact that we only hear by God's grace and mercy just to lift up the name of Jesus and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Every one of us in here has something this morning to be thankful for. The Lord has watched over us and provided for us through another week's journey, protected us from all hurt, harm, or danger. There have been some days throughout last week, you may have had some good days and you may have had some bad days, but whatever kind of day you had, you made it through the week. And after making it through the week and getting a mind and having a mind to come to the house of God, you ought to be able or have a mind to tell God, I thank you. I thank you for all that you've done throughout this last week. I thank you even for my bad days, because my bad days made me realize just how good you really can be. You see, if you've never been down and out, then you don't know how to appreciate when God picks you back up. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got to think about who we belong to. Then we got to know that there comes a time that no matter what you're going through, every time you get an opportunity to give God thanks, you ought to take advantage of it. David said that this is the day that the Lord has made. Yesterday was a day that God has made. A lot of us that don't like a whole lot of rain, we might have been a little disgusted yesterday. But we got to know that we still need rain as well as the sunshine. Then we have to understand that we serve a God that can do anything that he want to do. If God really wanted to, he could have let it rain all night and all day long without a break in between. So sometimes when the downpours come and we began to think, is it ever going to stop raining? Well, you got to believe in the power of a mighty God. And if God says it's time for rain, then we ought to be glad to be able to feel the rain. Anybody glad that they can even smell the rain? Because there's some folk that can't smell the rain. There's some folk that cannot feel the rain. So you ought to be thankful for the condition that you are in, even if you're not where you want to be. How many of you are glad you're not where you used to be? There comes a time that when you are serving God, even when you are in the midst of a beautiful sunny day, and out of nowhere dark clouds arise and the sky turns dark, and there you are in another storm. But how many of you know that if you believe that your darkest day, the sun is going to shine again? On that day when it seemed like you don't have no hope, God has a way of revealing to you that it's going to be all right. But you got to trust the word of God. You got to trust the spirit of God. And then you got to be attentive to that small, still voice that'll speak to you and let you know that I'm still with you. When we say that the Lord said that he would never forsake us, that he would never leave us, we got to believe that. But too many times when we are going through and when we are down and out, we began to say, Lord, where are you? I thought you loved me. I've been doing everything that I know how to do. But now that I'm going through the storm, I need to know that you are still right there by my side. I thank God that God is that one that even when you're in the midst of a storm and you may not have an umbrella, God will still be your umbrella. He'll be the one that will cover you. He'll be the one that will protect you. He is the one that always takes care of us. I come to encourage you and remind you this morning that if you trust the power of God, if you know that that's who you belong to, I come to let you know that you don't belong to yourself. For the Bible declared that you have been bought with a price. And the good thing is that you've been paid in full. Nobody owes anything on you. God paid your debt a long time ago. And then when you think about the fact that God paid a debt for you and for me, and all we had to do was just be us. We didn't have to do anything special. And the good thing that we need to understand is that it doesn't matter what you do.
You can't buy your way in. You can't work your way in. You can't talk your way in. And God knows you cannot con your way in. The Bible declares that it's the truth that shall make you free. A lot of us don't like the truth. We like to have folk to tell us what we want to hear. We like to hear a sweet thing that is soothing to the ear and to make us feel good. But how many of you know that there's sometimes you need some advice that's not going to make you feel good? Sometimes you need some word that's going to prick your heart and make you begin to think about yourself and where you are with God. Sometimes, so many times we come into God's house, we are more concerned about where everybody else is in God than where we are. We're looking around and wondering who going to shout next and who going to testify and who going to do this. And then we hunch one another. They need to sit down, but you don't know the story. Every man, every woman got to work out his own soul salvation. And you got to trust that God loves you no matter if nobody else cares anything about you. I know God loves you. And as believers, we need to know that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice when he gave his life for us. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. So I thank God for that love, because the Bible said God so loved the whole world, not just those at Fowl's Chapel, not just those down at Deliverance, but all over this world, God loves us. And that love was so great and so deep that the Bible declared that he gave his only begotten son. Then the word says, for whosoever. Are you a whosoever this morning? Are you one that is still walking around with a stony heart? Are you walking around with your head so hard that nothing can penetrate and get in that thing? But if you are a whosoever, the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him. Now, we believe in a whole lot of things. Sad thing is we believe in the mighty dollar. But that dollar is not going to last always. We believe in our abilities. But our abilities are not going to last always. How many of you have seen that the things that you used to do, you are not able to do them like you used to? And I come to tell you, even young folk, you got to understand that you might be all right now. But in a few days and after a while, you're going to be walking slow just like everybody else. Your hair going to get gray just like everybody else. You're going to begin to feel some pains in your body and you're going to wonder, where did it come from? Somebody said, I'm not old enough to feel all of this stuff already. But if you look around, a lot of us middle-aged folk are walking worse than the old folk. Just as many of us on medication as there are them. That ought to tell us something. Instead of getting better and stronger, we are getting weaker. The Bible declared that we get wiser, but yet weaker. And God's word does not lie. So many times you like to think that it's all about you, but you got to believe in the power of God. And Jesus said, if you believe in him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. Now, you love living. Anybody in here ready to die? I got some stored up eulogy messages. But if you're not ready to die, then you ought to be ready to live. And as quiet as it got, and the looks on some of your faces, you don't really look like some believers that know that after you die, you're going to still live again. So why you're so afraid to die? Everything you got, you're going to leave it. I don't care how much you love it, how much you paid for it, who gave it to you. Everything that you think you own don't belong to you know-how. I tried to get my little cousin to understand this morning that we got to serve God because everything we got comes from God. We get sidetracked and begin to think that I did it. Mama and them did it. Everybody did it by the Spirit and the grace and the power and the strength of Almighty God. We are not in a position this morning to look down on one another. But we got to know that God truly must love us. Because how is it that he can allow his only son to die if he didn't love us? How is it that he can look beyond our faults and see our needs and then supply those needs? When we know that we are not wretches undone. The Bible declared that no one is perfect, no, not one. There are those of us that have a testimony. We like to jump up and talk about I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm full of the Holy Ghost, fire baptized and all that good stuff. And it sounds so good. But after you get through testifying and you get outside these doors, the enemy is going to try you to see what you got. And when your work has been tried by the fire, my question this morning is, will your work be able to survive when it goes through the fire? First of all, you got to know what work is. The Bible teaches us that there are two kinds of people, believers and unbelievers. Doesn't matter which side you're on, we all made from the same dust of the ground. All of us been blessed with many different gifts and many different talents. And then there are some of us that think that because we got a gift, that we are better than somebody else. Because we got a talent of doing certain things a certain kind of way, we think that we are better than somebody else. Now, do know that you might be better at your task than some folk, but you also have to understand that there's somebody else that is better at that same task than you are. I'd be crazy to think that I'm the only one anybody want to hear to preach. There's a whole lot of folk that can preach the gospel. You're crazy if you think you're the only one can fry chicken. All you need is to wash him up, flour him up, and throw him in some grease and have a little patience. Take patience to fry good chicken. We are too instamatic. Don't microwave yourself to death. You get to the hospital, all they got to do is take the radiation and just go by your stomach. It's comical, but it's true. Because you got to begin to think and wonder, how is it that so many different people from so many different walks of life are having to deal with cancer and all of these other illnesses that our ancestors, even though some of them went through some of that stuff, we never heard of it like we hear of it now. It's too late to begin to think that I'm going to go organic. Too much of the other stuff already in you. And even if you go organic, when you pull those leftovers out, where you gonna put them? In the microwave. I don't have anything against the microwave. I bought a brand new one because mine wouldn't work right. But I'm beginning to understand. I had an uncle that would not eat anything if you put it in the microwave. And I didn't understand why he was so particular. But mama knew that when he came, put his stuff back in the oven, old school. We have got to begin to reach back to some of those things that we were taught and pass them along to this new generation instead of feeding them microwave, McDonald's, and Burger King. You want to know why they're overweight? Because of us. We done got into the new day. Everything is quick, fast, and in a hurry. Some folk would like to say, I wish they'd never come up with fast food. They're those that that's all they know. But there comes time that you got to trust the power of God. The Bible is telling us this morning that your body is a temple. And you got to be careful what you put in that temple. Because if you don't put the right thing in there, that temple is going to mess up on you. Then you're going to be crying, oh Lord, have mercy on me. There are times we get excited about the good news. We come to understand that all we got to do is believe and have faith in God. Paul tells us, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? Then it goes on to say, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you really hear the word of God, you got to decide, are you going to be a hearer or a doer? All of you hear what's coming out of my mouth. But how many of you going to do what thus said the Lord our God? You see, the Bible is telling us that we need to be not only hearers, but also doers of the word of God. James tells us about faith as well as work, that if you have a job, you ought to be about your Father's business this morning. You ought to be able to say that I'm going to do something for the Lord my God. If you say I got faith in God, then you're saying that I believe that there is a God somewhere. How many of you believe that there is a God? How many of you got faith in that God? Well, now the Bible says through the words of James, it said, what did it profit, my brethren, if a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? We thought it could. Because all we got to do is confess with our mouth. Believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died and rose on the third day, and the Bible said that we shall be saved. So we can confess, we can believe, and we can be saved. But now James goes a little step farther. He said, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what will it profit? In other words, when you pass the buck, somebody standing at your door that need a sandwich, and you stand there and say, I don't have anything. You stand there and look at them like, well, if you'd have got a job, then you'd be able to eat. And the Bible said if man don't work, man ought not eat. But the Bible also said the strong must bear the infirmities of the weak. So we got to take the whole Bible. So if I see my brother hungry and I got something to eat, I ought to have a mind to give my brother something to eat. Because my faith got to be respond by my work and actions. All of us believe in sitting on our behinds doing nothing. The Bible says, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead being alone. So they say all of the believers that sit on the stool of do nothing. And I'm not saying that you got to get on the choir. You got to get on a ministry. All you got to do is be a servant of the Most High God. See, all the work that need to be done in the vineyard is not done inside the house. There's a whole lot of work that need to be done through the hedges and the highways and the byways, and somebody got to go out there. We come in to worship him in spirit and truth, and we leave to serve him. So when you go to serve, you got to serve him by your works. Then the Bible says, if a man say that thou hast faith and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you thy faith by my works. So, in other words, what James is saying, that I'll show you how much I believe because of what I do. Time out for lip service. Got too many lip service Christians. Oh, you can depend on me. We can't depend on you for nothing. faith without works is dead. Then the Bible says, thou believest that there is one God, then you do well. But also the devil know that there's a God, and the devil is scared of that God because he trembles. But with thy know, vain man, that faith without works is what? Oh. So we got the message. Faith without works is dead. Okay. So now that we got faith, I'm assuming that we are willing to work. So now as we go about doing our work, know that you don't have to do it all by yourself. Can we believe this morning that we are many members, but yet one body in Christ? So we look here in 1 Corinthians. Paul begins to talk to them about being good Christians, about being a Christian that will give service to the Lord. And if you give service to the Lord, then there is a reward that is in store for you. So I come to let you know that if you want to do what God wants you to do, even if you say that I believe in the power of God, then I got to know that even though I got faith, I got to show my faith by my work. And as I began to work, I got to realize that I got to have a working form. I got to have somewhere to work from. And I cannot work on sinking sand. I got to have a foundation to build the work of God upon. So if you're going to be one of those children of God, the Bible says we are laborers together with God, and we are God's workers, and we got to work on this building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. In other words, Paul said that I got to have a wise mind. I can't build on anything, but I got to know exactly what I'm doing. First of all, I realized that in order for me to build something, I got to have a solid foundation. Now, the foundation is what is laid down at the bottom of your house that is almost above ground and in the ground. So that it will be stable, and everything that is built upon that foundation is supposed to be able to stand. So now when you put that to your spiritual life, your foundation ought to be Jesus the Christ. And if Jesus is your foundation, somebody said, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. But if any man build upon any other foundation, then their foundation is going to crumble. They're not going to be able to stand. They're not going to be able to do what they want to do. But they got to believe in the power of a mighty God. For one day your work is going to be made manifest. In other words, you're going to get exactly what you are doing. For the Lord God is going to look at the work that you have done. And when you stand there before the Lord our God, it said that he shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by the fire. When God looks at the work that you do, and he puts your work up against the fire, will your work be able to survive? Or will your work be in vain? There's somebody in the house this morning that said, I've been working for the Lord a long time, and I'm not tired yet. But I want to know this morning, is your work in vain? Do you have the work of a good workman, of a wise master builder? Don't you know there are three types of builders? There's the wise builder, there's the unwise builder, and then there's the foolish builder. The wise builder will build upon the solid rock. The unwise builder will build upon the sand. Those of you that are worried about material things, you got to know that we are the temple of a mighty God. And we got to serve God with everything that we got. I stopped by to tell somebody that you got to work for the Lord. Somebody said, work while it is day. For night coming when no man can work. But will your work be able to survive? Will somebody hear what you got to say and be able to say yay, yay, or nay, nay? I come to tell somebody that I work for a mighty God. And if you work for the power of God, all you got to do is open up your mouth. And the Lord will give you words to say. You got to follow where God leads you. Where God leads, I will follow. And when I follow God all the way down, he said, if you go, I'll go with you. I stop by to tell somebody, if your work is able to abide, you will get your just reward. I come to tell you this morning, Be not weary in your well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I stopped by to tell somebody that I'm going to get my reward. Because I'm not going to let my work be in vain. Is there anybody in the house that know that the work that you do is not to glorify yourself? It's not to edify yourself. It's not to build yourself up. But I come to build up Jesus. I wonder this morning, is there anybody here that is willing to help me lift up the name of Jesus? For the Bible said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. And I stop by to tell somebody that your work all might be in vain. Work while it's day. And when your work is tried by the fire, will it be burnt up? Or will it survive and go through the fire? You see, if your faith is in anything or on anything but the Lord, if you're working for personal gain, your work is in vain. If you're working just for somebody to give you a pat on the back, your work is in vain. But if you're working with a sincere heart, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to say, I'll say it. Will your work survive the trying of the fire? The Bible says that it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So now, when you look at the work that you did, are you going to be able to say like the old saint, when you're laid there before us, somebody get up and sing the song, "May the work I done speak for me"? Well, I just want to let you know that whether anybody sing that song or not, your work going to speak for you. Now, get this. The Bible said, if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So now, what that means is that you might be working for God, and the work that you're doing, if you're doing it with the wrong idea, you got the wrong motive as to what you're trying to do, then very well your work may be burned up. But because you are a child of the King, you can still be saved. Now, the difference is God is a God without respect of persons. So Jesus died for all of us. But now, what is very important this morning is that if any man's work abide, if you survive through the fire, then that you have built thereon, you will receive a reward. So now, even though he's without respect of persons, all of us are ministers of the gospel. All of us got gifts, and all of us have been commissioned by God to do a service. But now, depending upon how we serve, every one of us can be saved. But that don't mean we're going to all get the same reward. That one that is willing to say, whatever you really want me to do, I'm going to do it. There is a just reward. And nobody can take it away from you. Let your work not be ill spoken of, but do it to the glory of God. When you answer that question this morning, will our work survive the trying of the fire? Will it? Only God knows. We are very judgmental. Every time any child of God stands and declare his word, Somebody in that congregation, they criticize. They pull things apart. And they begin to say, well, he should have said this, he should have said that. But at the end of the day, your work is going to speak for you. You know what I love right now? Is that every one of you are listening to what's coming out of my mouth. I am just a vessel, a servant of God that came to deliver a message. And that message is to encourage us and to warn us that faith without works is dead being alone. And then if we work until God says enough, he says, I have a reward for you. How many of us really enjoy getting gifts, getting praise for the good that you do? And then there are those that are sort of laid back. They don't never want nobody to know that I had a hand in helping do nothing. I don't want any accolades. I don't want any pats on the back. All I want to do is be a servant. But the good thing in that individual, God sees, God knows, and none of us have to wear a big old poster board on our chest as to who we are and who we belong to. Live like a child of God.